Virgil Crook, Sunday PM, July 22nd, 2012.
Open your Bibles to Colossians 1, verse 20. We'll continue our lesson on what we see in the cross of Jesus Christ. The subject tonight is peace. Colossians 1, 20. And by him, that is by Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. From this verse, there can be no doubt where mankind's peace was made. On the cross, having made peace through the blood of his cross. That's very plain, very clear. The very moment that Adam disobeyed God's one commandment that he gave him, there was enmity between God and man. The very moment that Adam sinned, he had no peace. Instead of looking forward to the daily visit from his Creator, as the King James says, in the cool of the day, or I kind of like the way the Message paraphrase puts it, at the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze. Now that sounds pretty peaceful to me, especially since we're experiencing such hot weather. It's not supposed to be hot in Colorado, is it? Well, anyway, whatever. He lost that peace that he had with his Creator. At that time, Adam was quite disturbed. He had no peace. He lost it to sin. Let's turn to Isaiah 57, read a couple of verses here. Verses 20 and 21 in Isaiah 57, where the prophet states very plainly what the condition of the sinner is, what the condition of the person who doesn't know God, who has not accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, what is his condition? Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Now, the wicked here is not some person like the person we've heard in the last few days on every news media. He is wicked. But wicked here means simply one who does not follow God's ways. And to put it in our modern day terms, the wicked speaks of the person who has not accepted Jesus as his Savior. That's the word that the Bible uses. It's the person who has not been to the cross, the person who has not seen peace in the cross. It's the description of the person who does not know God. I don't know how observant you are as you travel between here and Kansas, because I know some of you do it. But on the way, as you get close to Topeka, on your right, some farmer has put it doesn't make my trip, but it does help. He's written on the side of a barn there, "No God, no peace. No God, no peace." Have you ever seen that sign? Okay. No God, no peace. No God, no peace. Why did he repeat himself? He didn't. The first no is N-O. The second no is K-N-O-W. It's always attracted my attention. I hope it's gotten some attention of other people also. If there's no God in your life, there is no peace. If you don't know God, there's no peace. But if you do know God, then you know peace. As we gaze at the horrendous scene of the cross, Christ hanging there, his bloody body beaten beyond recognition, blood streaming down from his head and the rest of his body, the multitudes howling and jeering at him, the women wailing and crying. It's anything but a peaceful scene. Yet there, our peace was made. The blood shed on the cross sealed our peace with God forever. God assured Israel in Exodus 12, we won't turn there, but what he said basically is, when I see the blood, I will pass over and there will be peace in this house. And that's not a quote, but that's certainly what took place. Those that applied the blood that night experienced not the tragic death that the rest of Egypt experienced. And so today, those who apply the blood by faith have the assurance of peace. Judgment has passed over us as in, and has fallen our substitute. You apply the blood by simply accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. And the moment you accept Jesus, what happens? Peace, love, and joy flood your entire being. Take just a moment to remember that day in your life if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior. Isn't that the way it was? As we gaze upon the cross, although it is a scene of horror and it is extremely unsettling, we see peace through the eyes of faith. Now, the cross doesn't seem to be a very peaceful place, but it is our place of peace. The cross is the peaceful meeting place between God and man. Let's turn to Colossians 3:15. There is no other ground upon which we can stand free from the fear of the wrath of God. The Bible tells us there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That mediation took place on the cross, where Jesus made peace between God and man. We look at the cross and we see that we are at peace with God. And as we appropriate that truth, the peace of God rules in our hearts. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I'm not going to repeat headlines. I'm not going to repeat TV and radio people. But you know what has been said the last couple, 3 days. We live in a world full of turmoil, and I wish that I could say that this is the last we'll ever see of a situation like this. You here in Colorado, you have Columbine. Now you have the Midnight Massacre. There's the fires that have ravished the state. And I don't want you to think that I'm indifferent, but I have peace. Yes, we grieve with those who have suffered these things. We should. But at the same time, we have peace. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Ephesians 2:14. Ephesians 2 and verse 14. Paul makes this theme just a little bit clearer. And he says, "For he," that is Jesus, "himself is our peace." For he himself, Jesus himself, is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. How or where did Jesus become our peace? By dying on the cross. Jesus is, always has been, and always will be at peace with the Father. Paul tells us that we are one with him. He also tells us we have been accepted in the Beloved. He has become our peace. Now, peace is more than simply a feeling or a state of mind. It's a person. I guess we can say that the peace is a feeling. I feel peace. Is that good grammar? You have to tell me, because I don't know. I have my own grammar book. I feel peace. I feel at peace. Yes, it is in a sense a feeling, but it's more than that. I can make that statement because of who lives within me. The Lord Jesus Christ lives within me, and I am at peace. When we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we accept God's peace. No God, no peace. It's a package deal, so to speak. You accept Christ, you get the peace. Now, the appropriating and the experiencing of that peace, in a practical manner, increases as we continue to look at the cross. In John 14:27, I'll just read this quickly. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, how did Jesus leave us his peace? This is part of our inheritance. You don't get an inheritance, most generally anyway, until the person who has the goods dies. Jesus died. and gave us peace. Let's go back to the Old Testament, Isaiah 53 and verse 5. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. Very familiar verse, but what meaning we find for our comfort. Speaking once again of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The chastisement of our peace. Remember, Adam disobeyed God, and there was no peace, not for him, nor for any of his descendants. The World English Bible puts it this way. The punishment that brought our peace was on him. The punishment that brought our peace was on him. And the Amplified says, the chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. It depended upon him. Let's turn to the New Testament again, Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79. Part of the words of Zechariah, speaking of the one who was to come and what he was to do. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. To me, these are beautiful words. The tender mercy of our God. The tender mercy of our God. And he speaks here of the day spring from on high, which was going to visit. That, of course, was the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was he going to do? He was going to give light to those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. How little peace, or actually we would have to say that the world without Christ has known no peace. The world has known no peace. We live in a world that doesn't know peace. And I don't know what they do, how they handle situations like we're still going through. It's not over yet. These are the realities of life. For those without Christ, there is no peace. That should cause us to be concerned about those who know not God. And our hearts go out to the multitudes, not just because there was a tragedy that took place, yes, because of that, but because they do not understand. They are still asking the question, why? Why do these things happen? There is no peace in the world, but our feet have been set in the way of peace. The way of peace, that is God's peace, leads to the cross. The tender mercy of God brought Jesus to this earth to give his life on the cross so that we might have peace. The way of peace is God's way. Adam walked away from God. That's man's way. It seems right, but where does it lead? What did Jesus tell us? That the broad way leads. Adam walked away from God and brought only strife and turmoil into the world. Jesus, through the cross, brought us back to God. Instead of going Adam's way where there is no peace, we can go God's way, filled with peace and contentment. Let's turn to Luke 19, verse 42. Luke 19, verse 42. As Jesus neared Jerusalem, as he came to the end of his earthly journey, he lamented his spiritual condition, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace. But now, sadly, unfortunately, they are hidden from your eyes. If you had just known, understood your day, the day of salvation, the Prince of Peace walked within their walls, but they didn't recognize him. At that very time, the peace offering was about to be offered, but they weren't interested to know him. He was their peace, but they rejected him. We read in Colossians 3:15, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." And as we've seen, Jesus is the peace of God. But Israel said, "We don't want this man to rule over us." They could have had peace had they accepted the Prince of Peace, but they rejected him. Now, I'm sure that they wanted peace, but not God's way. And so it is today. Most in the world don't know the things that are for their peace. They want peace, and we hear a lot about peace efforts, but not God's peace. Aren't you glad that you have accepted God's peace? At least I trust everybody here tonight has. Accepted the peace that God offers through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ brought us peace. Peace with God, to begin with. And the peace of God, to increasingly enjoy all through this earthly journey and throughout all eternity. No matter what happens in the world, and I guess you take it however you want it. But I would have to say, on the basis of the scripture, if Jesus continues to tarry, I'm afraid we'll see worse. Don't tell anybody that. They think I'm, well, you can if you want to, because that's what the word says. But I'm glad tonight that I have peace. And I trust that you have peace also. As we look at the cross, as horrid a scene as it is, it gives us a peace. It gives us a peace. In closing, I want to read just in Numbers 6 from verse 24, just a sort of a send-off for the abandonments. This is my desire, and I think the desire of all of us here for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord bless you.